problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Rob Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Your little gesture, she actually believes that the earth is full of people who deep down are filled with kindness and caring.
Well, that's absurd. People are bastard-coated bastards with bastard filling.
Exactly.
Sweet Moses. Everything has gone straight down the crapper since Enid got off the antidepressant.
I didn't know Enid suffered from depression.
She doesn't. Those pills kill her sex drive.
Huh.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Run. It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio. StPete.com. How the heck are you? My name is William Kuntz. The voice and text line is always open for you. 813-693-2124. Oh my gosh, I went to the chiropractor yesterday. Felt great for about 5 minutes when I left. And then, you know, you go to sleep and your bones just seep back into those weird shapes that they're supposed to. I sleep on a $200 mattress, which is probably my problem, but I don't have money to buy a nice mattress. I would love to buy a nice mattress. I fantasize about it almost daily, but not yet. One day, I got my student loan bill in. I don't know if anybody out there is paying student loans. Everybody is, I know. And I'm on one of those income-driven payment plans, right? And been paying, you know, an amount all year. And I assume that they had, you know, just put me back into the income-driven plan. And they did not do that, I guess. Starting this month, I got my bill, and it was a whopping $600. $600. That's pretty much what I pay to stay alive in a building. For God's sakes, that's a mortgage payment. They want $600 for me. Well, can't do that, obviously. But one day, I'll be able to do that, I'm sure. Got both of my fingers crossed, both hands. One day, I'm going to be able to pay my student loans off. What a fantasy, huh? What an American dream. I was thinking about it. I know that I signed, you know, a promissory note that I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know what I was doing, frankly, when I took student loans out under the advice of a professor, not blaming them either. But she says, dude, you got your whole life. And I should have known when she called me dude. You got your whole life to figure out this student loan. You can just pay it back for whenever you want. I didn't have to take out student loans. I had the grants and everything, because I came from a home of a single mother, so I had enough money to go to school with. But then, you know, you got to live somewhere, and, you know, I guess I did kind of have to take loans, because you can work a part-time job, but it's usually not enough to pay rent anywhere. But my God, What a mistake that was. What a I think about it all the time. I should have just went and got a job after high school in promotions at a radio station. Who knows where I would be in that, geez, almost 15 years now since I got out of high school. If I would have got that jump, who knows? Who knows? Not saying anything would have happened, but who freaking knows? You know, maybe I wasn't mentally prepared at that time. And I believe in starting to come around to right place, right time. You get hooked up when you're supposed to and whatever, whatever. But gosh, I could sure do without that crippling debt that I have now. It seems like starting a family or, you know, buying a house is just forever out of reach. I'm 30. I'm approaching my mid-30s at this point, and I feel like it's just out of reach for me. That it just doesn't seem realistic goal to have at this point. I know you can raise a kid in an apartment, and, you know, I guess I should worry about keeping a woman past 6 months as opposed to, you know, worry about having kids and stuff right now. But I would like to start a family. I think at some point in the semi-near future, the next few years, 5 years or whatever. And I don't know. It just seems out of reach. I don't want to have an apartment with kids in it. That just doesn't seem right. But, you know, one day, got both my fingers crossed, one day, I'll hopefully just get hit by a car and not killed, just badly hurt, bad enough where I'll get a good attorney and hopefully have lots of insurance, and I'll be able to just write a check for those student loans. Here you go. Get out of my face. I don't know what I owe at this point anymore. I know what I had when I left, which is about $40,000. Which is actually not that bad. I think the average is somewhere around $100,000 for kids getting out of college. But I don't know what it is now. I know it's way above that. The interest rates are crazy. I think it's something like 6%. And, you know, I'm paying my monthly bill that I have to pay because otherwise they'll seize my wages. So I'm working with them and, you know, trying to pay with the bare minimum, and it's not knocking down any principal. It's not even paying the interest. It's just money that's just going into the ether. I might as well just throw it, you know, into the fire. But anywho, yeah, 813-693-2124. I thought about, like I said, I know I signed the promissory note. I understand that. I know it's my responsibility. I'm on the hook for it. Individual accountability and responsibility. Got it. Totally on board with you, 100%. However, now when you go to college, it's under the guise that you are going to get a job that's lucrative, right? That's the main goal of going, acquiring knowledge, acquiring that piece of paper, getting some job experience, and you'll move on and become more of a success in your life. Now, I don't think that's the case anymore. If you're not going to school to be a doctor or a lawyer or some sort of engineer, then you're throwing your money away. And I got in a fight with my friend Jen about this a while ago. I have an English degree. I speak English, so it was pretty easy to do. Didn't buy books the final semester. Found out you don't need to buy books. You just don't. You can still get through the classes. Because books are $1,000 a semester. So, no, I'm not doing that. and I guess I wasn't taking it seriously. I wasn't that last year, for sure. But my friend Jen did. You know, she's passionate about English, and I told her she got into this program, you know, in England and stuff, and it was really a big accomplishment, and I'm not trying to doubt that whatsoever, but it was a waste of money. I mean, what are you going to do with an English degree? Well, you can do lots of stuff with an English degree. Yeah, you can get into a master's program to go to law school with an English degree is what you can do. Trust me. When these colleges offer these programs, there should be some sort of good faith in there that, you know, there's going to be jobs for you. Otherwise, why go to school? There's no incentive to go to school other than just your willingness and wanting to learn. Now, if you have the willingness and the want to learn, go on the internet. You can read whatever you want. You can listen to lectures about whatever you want. Now, you're not going to get that piece of paper at the end, but you'll still have the knowledge in your brain. And if that's what you went for anyways, to be smarter, then you're not being smart if you're paying for it at that point. There's no reason to go to school. If I have kids, they're not going to college unless they're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. No, I'm not going to let them make the same mistake that I did growing up. And I thought about it. I was like, man, I wonder if there's such a thing. Has anybody sued a university for bad faith? I know it would be a hell of a case to win, and you wouldn't win, probably. But I wonder if that's a thing. I want to do it. I'm ready. I love the University of South Florida. It's where I went to school. I love the University of South Florida Bulls football team. That's what I love. I love them. Everything else, whatevs. And they got a good, they're a good school. They do a lot of good research. I just saw they did something, some medical breakthrough. Awesome. But the USF Bulls football team, that's what's up. That's my thing anyways. So, but has anybody sued the school under bad faith? Because you go thinking that you're going to get some lucrative job somewhere. Is that a thing? Can I do that? Is it possible? Is it possible to win? Does anybody out there know anything about student loans to get the hell out of these things? Give me a call, please. Tell me, 813-693-2124. It was a crazy week in comedy this week. Mark Duplass, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's an actor, a writer, a comedic actor. He was on that show, The League, really funny show on FX, a big fan. He got in trouble this week on Twitter because, well, guess his crime. Nope, he didn't sexually assault somebody. Good guess. He had the gall to send out a tweet, which reads as follows. Fellow liberals, if you're interested at all in crossing the aisle, you should consider following Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is the proprietor, editor-in-chief of the Daily Wire. He's a Jewish Republican, just regular conservative dude. As far as I know, he didn't even vote for Trump, but he's just a normal Jewish conservative guy. Seems like a nice guy. A little bit annoying at times, but seems like a nice guy, and this guy seems to know him personally. I don't agree with him much, or this is Duplass's tweet. I don't agree with him much, but he's a genuine person who once helped me for no other reason than he's to be nice. He doesn't bend the truth. His intentions are good. And that sparked just immediate backlash from people on Twitter. And, basically calling him names and how dare he reach across the aisle to this. This is the thing. Ben Shapiro gets called a Nazi and a racist. Again, not even just a casual Jewish guy, but a real Jew. I mean, he's got the yarmulke on and everything. It's not possible for him to be a Nazi. It would be against his self-interest to do so. But man, it's crazy, man. And then of course, this guy, Mr. Duplass here, bends to the mob and sends out another tweet later, basically apologizing for that tweet. And it was way over the 200 character limit, but just said that he made a mistake and oh my gosh, he's sorry and he's still getting better as a human being. It's like he pulled his penis out at a cocktail party. That's what the apology read like. It's unbelievable. It's insane. I don't understand. And you can't bend to the mob. You can't go and appease these people like this because they don't care. And then once you apologize, then you get the other people upset at you that were initially in your corner. Then they get pissed. So it's an unending cycle. If you're not using Twitter for either trolling local politicians or off-color jokes or to promote your podcast like I do it, I think I have it figured out, then it's just don't be on Twitter. It's not worth it. The other big thing in comedy was Legion of Skanks. Legion of Skanks is Big J Okerson, Dave Smith. Dave Smith is a libertarian. He's got a really great podcast called Part of the Problem. If you're not listening to that, do check that out. And Luis Gomez, and their comics are buds. And it's not a political podcast. It's kind of a raunchy show where they just it's dudes hanging out and they're talking and they're all funny and it's a good pod. And then this dude gets up in the middle of one of their podcasts, grabs the mic. I can't believe that. I mean, I appreciated his balls to a certain extent because, man, I can't fathom doing that. And he grabbed the mic and said, hey, we'll get back to the white supremacist jokes in 1 minute. But a white supremacist, Luis J. Gomez is a Puerto Rican guy. And again, Dave Smith and Oakerson are Jews. Again, it's... doesn't make sense. These people are so deluded, they convince themselves that two Jews and a Puerto Rican man are white supremacists. It's the shark has been jumped a long time ago. And I think things are, believe it or not, getting better. At least I sure hope so. I think that when these people do this stuff, it really puts a microscope on it. And I think people are starting to realize that this stuff is crazy. And it is just a few incidents. And yeah, you see it. See, with YouTube and stuff, you see all these incidents combined because people collect little incidents, put them together into a 20-minute video, and then you think, oh my God, this is widespread. It is sheer lunacy out there, and it is to a certain extent. The internet is just a crazy, crazy place, but, you know, I don't think it's as bad. Like, walk outside. It's not as bad as what the internet says it is. For the normal human beings, anyways, there's extremes on both sides, and they're both tiny little minorities that don't really, you know, they don't really interact with each other. Well, the extremists do interact with each other because they go out and protest and stuff. Nobody's going to protest. That's weird. Like, and there are some here. Sometimes I know they had the March for Our Lives in the St. Pete. Like, 200 people showed up, and they were just, like, hanging out and bitching about guns. So it wasn't, like, you know, a riot or anything. And I guess it's good, you know, to a certain extent that some people are getting politically motivated to enact change. I don't know if it does any good. I really don't think so. But, you know, it's their freedom to do so as an American. And God dang it, I sure do support it. What do you think about this stuff? Are things calming down? Are things ramping up? 813-693-2124. Still got a bunch of stickers and stuff if you want some. Happy to send some out. I sent a bunch out last week. I got some cool little decals with the new HMB Radio logo and the old stickers with the podcast cover thing with the tie-dye and stuff. They're pretty cool. Can't really put those on your car, but you can use them inside. They don't really have the UV protection, but if you want some, happy to send some to you. The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSt.Pete.com. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the pod. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get them. It's everywhere. Tune in, you know, whatevs. And download the Radio St. Pete app. Just search Radio St. Pete. It's right there. It's new and improved. And you can get this podcast, all the other Radio St. Pete shows, and, of course, the live feed coming out of Radio St. Pete studio, wherever it is, in an undisclosed location. Follow the show on Facebook, HMB Radio. That's it. You just find it there. Click the like button. Like Stay Woke, the show I do with Anna, at midnight on 102.5 The Bone. Just search Stay Woke or Anna Hummel Radio. I think it's actually under. I don't know why she put it under Stay. Just put it under Stay Woke. But, you know, it's Anna's page. So Anna Hummel Radio, you can find it. And hit the like button on that. Follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. Same thing on Instagram. I know the underscores are confusing. But, you know, there's just an underscore between the home and made and made and man. It's not that hard. I don't see what the big deal is. So follow me on there. I'm pretty active on those. And just Radio St. Pete. Radio STPETE.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSt.Pete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Tap House 61, 2061 Central Avenue, right here in good old St. Petersburg. Now open for lunch. Get yourself a sandwich. Hey, maybe even get yourself a pint while you're there. That's right. Go crazy. Don't tell your boss, but, you know, have one. Treat yourself. You deserve it. Taphouse61.com, and they are located, again, at 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Pete. Tony Daniel. Yes. Do you know who this man is? He is a legend in Tampa. A complete lunatic, insane person. He's gained some notoriety even nationwide because he puts Confederate flags. Now, he's an African-American gentleman, and he flies the Confederate flag and Nazi symbols, the swastika, all over his on a big billboard that he tows behind a pickup truck all around the city of Tampa. He goes to the city council meetings. He got in trouble recently because he's a belligerent lunatic at the meetings, and they kind of, I think, they tried to ban him. We talked about it not too long ago. But he's in the news again. And it's not for good reasons. Tony got in a fight with some ladies. It's not funny. It is kind of funny. But yeah, he's a black guy, and he had a sign on the street corner that said it had a nice Confederate flag there and a big old Nazi flag on a sign, and it said "Terminate the lying N-words." That's pretty harsh, I would say. This is from Tony Marrero in the Tampa Bay Times. Tony Daniel is undeterred. 3 days after his arrest on an assault charge, the 60-year-old race-baiting provocateur was back on the same street corner this past Monday, shouting into a megaphone and holding a large sign with the same racial epithet that sparked the whole thing. Standing under a blazing sun on Kennedy Boulevard across from the University of Tampa, Daniel denied that he assaulted two women who stopped to confront him Friday about the sign he was holding. He said he plans to fight the charge vigorously. "We don't think it's going anywhere," he said. A motorist captured the encounter on video. Video's pretty wild. Check it out. I'll tell you what. I'll post it on the HMB Radio blog with this podcast, so you can watch it. Now, the lady smacked the sign out of his hands, but I don't think that defines assault, right? I don't think that's legally assault, as far as I know. And he went ahead and punched her in the face, pretty much, and a whole big thing. It was a group of like three ladies that are trying to fight this older fella. And, you know, ladies, don't try to fight dudes, because you're not going to win that fight. And he beat the crap out of them, all three of them. They got a few blows in, but I don't know. I don't think lady punches hurt that much. They just don't have the upper body strength. So, ladies, stop fighting men, and especially don't fight crazy people. That's an even bigger a lesson to be learned, I think, out of this whole thing. But a motorist captured the encounter on video, which was reviewed by the Tampa Bay Times. It initially shows Daniel accompanied by a woman in a red dress holding a sign nearly as tall as he that says, "Homeless, N-words, go back to Africa." On the backside was another racist slur. Standing nearby are the two women later identified as some name I can't pronounce and another name that I can't pronounce, both of Brandon. When Daniel points the megaphone in their direction, the younger woman marches toward him. That's when the one lady slapped the sign, according to the police report. The video shows Daniel yanking the sign back and pushing the megaphone into her face. Police said he hit her with it. Then the older woman punched Daniel in his right eye. The police report said he lashed out at the two with the megaphone, striking the one lady in the head, the report said. According to the report, Daniel struck the woman on the head several more times as she retreated towards her vehicle. So there is like the stand your ground law, right? I guess he's trying to invoke that. But I don't think you can attack if they're retreating. But she did hit the dude, right? So she slapped the sign. He pushed her with the megaphone in the face. Then the lady another lady punched this lunatic. So it's a whole big fiasco. Daniel said Monday that the woman threatened and violently attacked him. He said, I'll try to say the name, Roshana Dukes hit him about five times in the face and snatched his glasses. Basically, the whole time I'm defending myself, trying to get my glasses, he said. Neither Tukes was charged. Oh, the two ladies were charged. Police spokesman Steve Haggerty said additional evidence has been provided by the Hillsborough State Attorney's Office to determine whether further charges should apply. Daniel's wife, this guy's married, by the way, that makes me feel real good about myself, who declined to give her first name, is the woman in the red dress and also recorded the incident on her cell phone. In her video, the Tukeses pull up in a blue Mustang and ask Daniel to explain the sign. "How nasty could you be?" Roshana Tukes asks. "You're an African-American man standing with that word? That's just inappropriate." She must hate rap music then. The video shows Navia Tukes becoming increasingly agitated, prompting Roshana Tukes to get in between her and Daniel and pull her towards the car. Daniel tells his wife to go get the tag number. When she points her camera phone at the Mustang's license plate, One of the Tukeses tells her to keep the phone away from her car. Seconds later, as the squabble begins, Daniels' wife phone gets jostled and points toward the ground. She can be heard yelling, "Stop!" several times as her husband and two women and an unidentified male bystander tussle. Police arrived and arrested Daniel about 11:30 a.m. and later booked him into the Hillsborough County Jail on one count of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, the megaphone. The second-degree felony is punishable by up to 15 years in prison. He was released from jail early Sunday last week after posting the $2,500 bail. Daniel said he had tunnel vision after the incident and went to the hospital after his release from jail to get his eye checked. A black man, Daniel is known for race baiting, often targeting African Americans. His pickup truck displays Confederate and Nazi flags and racial slurs. His repertoire extends beyond signs. Earlier this year, in large part because Daniel and the Tampa City Council changed its rules to ban vulgar, threatening speech at meetings. Despite his provocative actions, Daniel said Friday's incident marked a first for him. "I've never seen an instance where a person is so aggressive and wants to physically confront you," he said. "Yeah, well, if you hold signs with certain words, I think the N-word being one of them, people are going to have a big, big problem with that. I'm honestly surprised no one has kicked his ass yet, honestly." On Monday, Daniels' sign demanded the firing of a former city building inspection manager who now works for the county. For several years, Daniel has been in a dispute with City Hall over an East Tampa house that has been hugely expanded, largely without permits. Daniel says he never utters the racial slur that he uses on his sign. He says he raised his children not to use it. Asked what the difference is between saying the word and putting it on a sign, he called it a good question, but didn't offer a clear answer. Tony Daniel, I say the person of Tampa, 2018. I don't think that award exists, but I think he should have it. What do you think about this guy? 813-693-2124. Have you ever ran into this guy? Have you ever had an incident? Have you ever spoken to him? I want to get him on this podcast, honestly. I'd love to pick his brain a little bit. I don't want him in my house, but maybe a Skype session or something. That would be good. 813-693-2124. This podcast is brought to you by True V Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Pete. The Botox lady is coming. That's right. Once a month, she goes in there, injects middle-aged women in their face with some poison that smooths it out all nice like a baby's bottom. And you can get yours done, too. While you're there, get your hair cut. Get your nails did. Treat yourself. TruVSalonAndSpa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Go there, talk to Chrissy, say you heard this on the Homemade Broadcast.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
The other big news this week worldwide was our beloved President Trump met with Russian, whatever, president, prime minister, whatever the frig he is, Vladimir Putin in a showdown. And it ended up turning out not so great for old Donnie boy. But he met with them. He had a press conference. And we talked about it a little bit, Anna and I, on Stay Woke, the radio show I co-host with Anna Hummel, midnights on 102.5 The Bone. I know that's late, but you can always download the app, you know. Just search 102.5 The Bone on iTunes or Google Play, and you can find the app. And you can get the show on demand. The previous night's show runs 24 hours a day on that app. You just push a button and it's right at your fingertips there. So why don't you do that while you're there? Download the Radio St. Pete app as well. They just refabbed it. It's new and improved. And again, you'll have podcasts and live radio streaming right to your cellular device there. Just search for Radio St. Pete. But we did talk about it, the Trump-Putin summit on Stay Woke, and we talked to Will, and I believe the other guy was Ronnie, about how they felt about it. So let's hear a little bit of that from Stay Woke, Midnight's 102.5 The Bone.
Oh, is this me? Oh, that's this you. Is Will. Hi, Anna. Hi, Will.
Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
Two just brief things. Mm-hmm. unfortunately, due to our society, we need to introduce some new things to schools. Perhaps one of them is, of course, like actor shooter situation kind of awareness.
Okay.
But the other thing is, I was watching this thing on Reddit last night mm-hmm. about how the KGB is kind of like undermines our society in a way that splits people apart.
The KGB?
Yeah. It was like a whole like long thing about the KGB and everything.
Okay.
It was actually kind of cool. You should look it up on Reddit.
Okay. Tweet it
being
out.
Being aware of fake news mm-hmm. is actually very important at this day and age. And I think, you know, that should be taught in our society, perhaps.
To look out for fake news?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think a lot of that, though, is that people are just either too lazy or too dumb to realize what they're looking at. They just share things. If it kind of coincides with what they already believe, yeah. then they're, yeah, I'll share this. This is
slap a like on it.
Right, right.
So how do you bar against consuming fake news?
That's the question of the day, I suppose.
Right. Okay. So we don't have any
ideas? If I knew it, I'd be teaching the class.
Okay. So, all right, we need a class, but we have no idea how to teach it.
It splits society apart, and I mean, it's...
I think you're pretty safe if you generally, I'm not saying 100% of the time, but what I like to do is triangulate my sources, right? Go to a little CNN, go to a little Drudgy Drudge, go to some Fox News, MSNBC, see what's kind of, you know, the overlapping Venn diagram, and then kind of take the center and go, okay, I think this is what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you're in the minority, you know?
Yeah, because I'm a Jew. I know.
You and I both do that. It's awful.
Yeah. I'm a Jewish lesbian.
No, but I mean, what? I mean, really, like, we should be more aware of these things. I mean, it's awful that we have to do that kind of thing, but, we got to stick together. And
it's personal responsibility. Everybody knows in this day and age that you got to look out for these certain... I guess fake news. I guess we could just call it fake news, but you know it exists.
You can say that about hygiene, but you know the guy in front of me at the store still smells awful. You know,
right. So I mean, you just gotta look at where you're getting your news from, and like Anna said, the truth's probably somewhere in the middle. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I have to say. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for calling in, man. Thanks, appreciate it. Bye. Love you. I don't know if he was high or drunk or doing blow, but can I have some? You're on Stay Woke. Who's this?
This is Daryl Brown. How you doing, Anna?
I'm good, man.
Hey, I got to tell you something. Back in 1987, I had to go from Hof.
That was a good year.
From Hof to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke down. I got stuck in Russia with the Russians aiming weapons all at me in 1987.
Yikes.
Yeah, and it's called Checkpoint Charlie, and you go through there.
Uh-huh.
KGB is all in there. And you had a lot of people that were trying to escape Russia. Well, at the time, Putin was, you know, he was a KGB agent.
Yeah, that's right.
Dangerous guy, man. Mm-hmm. Very dangerous. And I just think the president should have stood up to him. I think he just froze up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have liked him? Let me ask you, what would you have liked to see him do in that situation yesterday?
Just like what Reagan did when he went to Germany back in the 80s. He told Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to just confront Putin straight up and just say, we think you guys are, you know, enter the election, and would you send those 12 guys back to the U.S. to be tried? And he should have did that.
Yeah.
He froze up, though. He froze.
Should have called David Hasselhoff and been like, get that lighted up jacket, dance on top of the Berlin Wall, and break it down!
Oh, yeah. He's like an icon in Germany. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm aware of that. I also became even more aware of how gross that birthmark on Gorbachev's head was.
Oh, yeah.
I remember he had a birthmark, but I looked at it again today. I'm like, that looks like a bird made doo-doo on his head.
Revolting.
Yeah. I'm like, truly. At that point, you need just wear a beanie or wear like four yarmulkes because it's gross. It's gross, quite frankly.
Just cut your head off.
Yeah, yeah. You're ruining the family
party. Exactly. Well, we just got to do something about our president, though. We got to help him out, you know. It's just embarrassing. It was embarrassing from the whole world.
Yeah, you know? It really was. And I feel like the Trump that people love didn't show up that day.
Right.
So it was very strange.
Yeah, they left him out there on the wing, and they should have briefed him and everything because they used to do it with Reagan all the time. They would brief him, and then he'd be overseas, and they'd tell him what to say and what not to say. But I think he was just out there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know?
I'm sure that they briefed him. I'm sure they gave him a full briefing. He's got his people there. I think his ego got in the way a little bit. And I really do believe that, you know, he'd rather have peace with Russia, I think, as we all would.
Yeah.
So he chose – that's our. I guess that's the biggest threat, really, to the United States at this point is Russia, I guess. But
they had missiles aimed at us. We had missiles aimed at them.
Yeah,
sure, absolutely.
Yeah. It's always been.
It was just really strange, especially after he met with like the NATO alliance and the EU, and he kind of trashed them and trolled them, and then cuddled up to Putin and was really just kissing his ass the whole time. And I'm so glad Barron has a soccer ball that he can play with that was probably signed by Putin. Like, now, what the hell was that?
Let me ask you this though: is it possible? Have you heard the saying from The Godfather that you keep your friends close, and you keep your enemies closer? Do you think it potentially could be something like that?
Definitely. Yeah, I think what he's trying to do, he's trying to, watch him, but he's trying to get, world peace. He doesn't want to fight with Russia. He's trying to make peace, and he's doing it the wrong way. He's got to show might, though. He's got to go strength to this guy. This guy, you say I was looking, he looked like he didn't even care.
Yeah, it was just very strange because it was exactly the opposite of kind of the method of operation he took with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, when he was just like, I will nuke the S out of these mother effers and all this stuff. And everybody was loving that. And then all of a sudden, all of his supporters, suddenly when he was, kind of became like a big, huge pussy with Putin, everyone was like, oh, well, we can't go guns a-blazing. I'm like, weren't you the one that was just, clapping and applauding him when he was doing that to Kim Jong-un? But I just didn't understand.
It's not really the same thing. North Korea is a tiny little country. Russia is a big country with a big military.
I understand, but I mean, North Korea did have nukes, and they were being careless and reckless with them.
They could get Guam, but that's about it.
I don't know, man.
They're good fighters, too. They're good fighters.
Yeah, they're lunatics.
The Russians? Bad. Well, there's just a lot of them, too. And they are very, very militant, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Well, love your show, Anna. Keep it up.
Thank you. Love you.
All right, bye.
Love you. Bye. God, I'm so needy. All right. Before I say any more, basically, Trump sort of retracted some of what he said yesterday. I don't want to read over because I think they may say this in this clip. So let's play a little bit of this right now. Right now. Oh, there's no. Oh, hold on. We'll solve the problem.
Oh, boy.
For the United States, we're working very hard with our allies and all over the world. We're working. We're going to have peace. That's what we want. That's what we're going to have. I say peace through strength. I have helped the NATO alliance greatly by increasing defense contributions from our NATO allies.
He is literally taking a piece of paper and going with his finger, like, word for word. I bet, like, some of his guys, that are in his cabinet were like, listen, a-hole, please do not stray from the script. Read every word that we have said to you, because otherwise you're going to be in a huger piece of, S than you are right now.
Allies by over $44 billion, and Secretary Stoltenberg was fantastic. As you know, he reported that they've never had an increase like this in their history, and NATO was actually going down as opposed to going up. And I increased it by my meeting last year, $44 billion, and this year will be over. It'll be hundreds of billions of dollars over the coming years. And I think there's great unity with NATO.
All right, so it goes on and on about NATO, but what we really want to get to is a quote that he said here. He said, quote, let me be totally clear in saying that, and I've said this many times, I accept our intelligence community's conclusion that Russia's meddling in the 2016 election took place. So he said that. And then he says, could be other people too. Like a little sideswipe, a little clause right there. So he did retract some of what he said. It was very strange that they changed the whole, like, wood to wooden sort of a thing. Like, I don't see why they would. And he meant to say, oh, I don't see why they wouldn't. So it was very strange that he took some of it back. But
it's good that he backtracked from what he said.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it really threw a wrench in. We're trying to come together, and just every day something happens that manages to pull us apart even more. So he's saying, look, the people that are in the FBI now and the CIA are his people.
Right.
If you don't like those people, if you don't think they're trustworthy and doing the best job, they work for you.
Yeah.
You can fire them and replace
them
with new people.
Yeah.
So, what is he talking about? He doesn't believe his intelligence people.
I don't know.
And everybody knows this. This has been going around for a long time. They knew what the Twitter trolls and all that mm-hmm. stuff, the Twitter factories they had that were... Now, I don't know how much it affected the election. I don't really think it swayed anybody one way or yeah, another.
And that's what they were talking about.
I think they caught dummies that were already going to vote for Trump that were just retweeting stuff. I don't think those things are going to change anybody's mind. So I think they definitely tried.
Uh-huh.
But I just wonder, as far as... You know, they're calling him that he's guilty of treason at this point. That's what I'm skeptical of at this point. I don't think he was in, at least yet, anyway. If evidence comes out that he was, you know, in bed with the Russians or whatever, he's some sort of agent.
Right.
That just seems so unlikely. Just put yourself in that scenario.
Listen, at this point, anything is freaking possible. Like, I don't put anything past anybody. I don't claim to know Donald Trump and his character personally or what he feels on the inside yeah. or what he did. And, I mean, obviously he has businesses all over the world. Who right. freaking knows? But, yeah, it's good that he backtracked a little bit, and it's funny to me because it's when his own base is like, hey. Like, he doesn't care what the trolls say, what the left says. Like, they're going to hate him no matter what. Mm. But when his own base and his own people who are Trump supporters are like, dude, you can't, this looks bad, then the next day, 24 hours, turns around and makes a statement that he is retracting what he did say. So.
And that's good, and I think people should, you know, you don't have to praise him, but should acknowledge the fact that that's good that he walked that back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, where do you go from here? That's the question. Where does the relationship go with Putin?
So where do we go from here? What's next with Vladimir Putin and the saga of collusion and people calling him a traitor? And what do you think? Is he a traitor? Did he get the raw end of the deal here on this Helsinki trip? Is he an evil genius that is playing both sides and is doing the old keeping your enemies closer than you keep your friends bit? 813-693-2124 is HMB Radio voice and text line. Give it a shout. Let me know. All right, that's the Homemade broadcast this week. But before we go, I want to say thank you very much to Homemade Podcasts. Totally different thing. I really believe in this company because it's my company. It's my media consulting company. If you're an individual that's ever wanted to start a podcast but don't know where to start, equipment, how to get an RSS feed, I'm your guy. I've done it before. Few times, and I can help you. HomemadePodcast.com. If you're a business, a company that wants to create some sort of audio content to reach your existing clients or potentially reach new clients, again, I'm your guy. I can do it all. HomemadePodcasts.com. This has been the Homemade Broadcast this week. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. After that, if you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please tell a friend. Subscribe. Give it a 5-star rating. Visit one of the local sponsors, Tap House 61 and Truvy Salon and Spa. Listen to Stay Woke at midnights on weeknights on 102.5 The Bone. Get some stickers. Let me send you some. Even if you do a few of those things, I'd appreciate it. I know it's a lot to ask for, but I do appreciate it. My name is Will Koontz. This is the Homemade Broadcast. I will talk to you next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.